turn in your Bibles to two or three portions. First one is Daniel, where Pastor Eugene quoted from Pastor Shibeli. So I want you to look at that verse, Daniel 10. Great to have you out this morning. Praise the Lord. We are paying attention to what the Spirit is saying to us. You know, we cannot produce revival. Revival comes from God. But you can set your sail to catch the wind. You know, you can be in the water and set your sail. And if the wind blows, then you're ready to go. And I like that picture. G. Campbell Morgan said that we don't have authority for revival, but we can set our sail and catch the wind when it comes. And when you and I prepare in our hearts by hearing, and in our hearts we are prepared, whatever God is doing, we want to go with what God is doing. And He is doing a lot. So this is a word of encouragement in chapter 10, verse 19. And said, O man greatly beloved. I wasn't in that rap with Pastor Shibeli yesterday, but I can imagine these words said in the rap, greatly beloved. And how important it is to know you are greatly beloved. We'll go back there in a second. Turn to Jeremiah 3. For the love that God has for Israel. 3 verse 1. Maybe I shared this. If a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's. Remember that portion where if the woman is divorced and she cannot go back to her first husband, married again, and she cannot go back in the law in Deuteronomy. But this is saying, but she become another man's and shall return unto her again. Shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But Israel has played the harlot with many lovers or many men, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Wow. Yet God is saying, you have run off with many lovers, but return again to me. That's love. I love you with an everlasting love. What is your condition today? But you are loved. You are greatly beloved. Though you have run off with many lovers, yet you are greatly loved by God. Do you know that I could never do anything that would lessen the love of God for me? Nor could I ever do anything that would enlarge or increase the love that He has for you and me. It's an infinite love. It's complete and full. Verse 19, fear not. Love casts out fear. Peace be unto you. Be strong. Yea, be strong. So there's a sequence. Love, fear is cast out. Peace be unto you. Be strong. And when He had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Then when He spoke, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. More, keep talking, God. Minister to me. Speak more to me. You are strengthening me. Truth in the inner man. Restore me. Build me up. Help me. Love me. Forgive me. Strengthen me. Put your strength in me. Remember Job said it in Job 23. If I meet God, will he speak against me? No, he will put his strength in me. This is our God who loves us and strengthens us in the inner man. Now turn with me to the tragic story of Jonah. And we'll just look at Jonah chapter 2 for a few moments. Many of you know the story of Jonah. He was swallowed by a large fish. Recently, it happened up in Cape Cod, didn't it? Anybody remember the story? There was a scuba diver, and there was a whale eating krill, right? Is it krill? And they don't have a big throat. Whales don't have a big throat. They eat these small little krill. And the scuba, the whale apparently opened his mouth. It caused a vacuum, and the scuba diver got caught inside the mouth of the whale. And then he sensed it and let him go. The man survived, and he was beat up a little bit. But Jonah wasn't swallowed by a whale, but he was swallowed by a large fish. And what a tragic thing that must have been. It's happened before the 19th century. There was a man that it happened in the North Sea near England, a fisherman. It went overboard. 24 hours later, they caught the fish. I think another fishing boat caught a large fish, opened it up, and he was there, and he was alive. Apparently it can happen. It happened here, right? In the book, in the story. So, chapter 2, verse 1. Lord Jesus, we pray you would minister to us today. God, we don't want to be straitened in our own emotions or cramped in our life, cramped, narrowed, straightened in life. We pray, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Keep your finger there. In my prayer, I mentioned a few words. I want you to see them. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 11. O ye Corinthians. Corinthians, that's a group of people that are in the church at Corinth, the city where Paul planted a church. When he went there to that city for the first time, the Spirit said to Paul, stay in this city. I have many people in this city. They are not yet saved, it implies, but I have many people here. So Paul stayed 18 months, planted the church. The Corinthians had problems in their Christian life. They were pagan people that were finding God. They found God. The Holy Spirit ministered God. They were loved by God. They became believers, and Paul pastored them and taught them and cared for them. But they also had a carnality amongst them. We read in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote them a letter because of their carnality and was correcting them, leading them, and helping them. He also wrote another letter, not in the scripture, that made them sad, but they received the rebuke they were corrected. Titus came, told Paul. They received the letter. They received the correction. And then Paul writes this letter, 2 Corinthians, and he's saying some things to them, warning them and helping them as they grow. Verse 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. What is the meaning of that phrase? We are talking to you. Our mouth is open unto you. We are teaching you. We want to help you. We are able to rebuke you, encourage you, teach you, help you. We're not stopping by being silent. Our heart is enlarged. That word is important. Our heart is enlarged. It's as if my heart could become narrow or cramped. My heart becomes room only for three people. I have room only for my family. I have room only for my house, my boat, my dog. My heart is small. But Paul said, have a heart enlarged. You have to get bigger, he's saying. Get bigger. But what happens to us in life can shrink our heart. We can become like very small-minded and very focused on our pain and our trouble. We can be very easily complaining and angry about life, angry about people, troubled by the fish that has swallowed me because it's cramping me. I'm very small, not only in a physical way, I'm in a fish, but I'm very angry about it. I'm very upset about life. I'm very hurt by what has happened to me. And so this is the context here. I believe it's correct what I just said because it explains a little more. It says, our heart is enlarged. And I want to talk about how your heart can be enlarged this morning. Verse 12. You are not straitened in us. Like, we are not making your life narrow. Wow. We are not the problem. We are not making your life narrow. You are not straitened or cramped by us, but you are cramped by your own emotions, verse 12. But you are cramped in your own bowels, says the King James. It's the inner guts of the body. This is really what it is. It's the ancient word for our emotions, referring to compassion sometimes, emotional feeling. You are cramped by your feelings. Another way of saying by our trouble, by our wounds, by life that happened to us. We are cramped by it. Verse 12, you are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be enlarged. It's a good word. Be enlarged. Maybe there's a little diagram we can draw a picture with a man, another person, and God above them. And because of the trouble that happened with these people, I'll just draw some symbol there, like, I don't know, just some clutter, some trouble that happens in life. The trouble makes me, cramps me, makes me small. So this is a picture easily that happens with us as people. We could say Jonah and the whale, I think so. Jonah and the whale. because Jonah had more than a whale problem, or a fish rather, a fish problem. He had run away from God. He had, in chapter 1, he had run away from the presence of God. He had run away from God, so now life happens to all of us. And God has called us to have our heart enlarged by love, by God loving us, by stretching his arms out so wide and saying, I am God, and I'm the one that you actually need. I will enlarge you. I will forgive you. I will restore you. I will set you on a rock higher than yourself. I will build you up. I will love you. I will put strength in you. I will anoint you. I will answer your prayer. I will enlarge you. I will give you friends, sisters, and brothers, and quietness. I will restore your soul. I will help you in your life. Let's go through a list of things, because we're all people. My wife, my children, my money or lack of it, my education or lack of it, my personality, my experiences in life. It's so easy for us to be kind of feeling that and really get down and really say, this is it for me. This is my life. This is it. This is all I got. This is all I got in life. I've lived like this for a long time. This is all that I got. I got trouble on every side. Now, if you noticed, because if you go to, I don't want you to do it now, but in your reading, 2 Corinthians 6, you see an amazing list all through these 10 verses. Amazing list is sorrowful, but always rejoicing. You know, cast down, but not forsaken. You see these couplets of phrases where, you know, like troubled on every side, but it's like Paul is saying, you think you have trouble? I have plenty, but my heart is enlarged. It includes others. It includes my enemies even. It includes like everything. I feel it in my heart. Because how could this happen to people? How could you be so enlarged that your life is including like, it seems like everything is under your feet. Like it just seems that things are okay. Or that God is, and the answer is this one, who's kind of on the outside of the picture, but he's the vertical relationship element, the person that really Paul is saying that you really need. This is what you need. This will change everything. This is what will help you. This will be the answer for you. So go now back to Jonah, please. And thank the Lord for the morning today. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and you heard my voice. Here's a good point. He was in a big fish, but what was in Jonah's belly? You got two bellies. You've got Jonah's belly and you got the fish's belly. And Jonah was in the fish's belly, but what was in Jonah's belly? Maybe this message. Maybe this is the message that I need in my belly. So when I'm in the belly of the earth, the hell that is on the earth, when I'm in the belly of this one, I've got something in my belly that speaks to me, that guides me, and says to me, bring God into it. Trust in God with all your heart. What's in your belly? It may be the bigger question than what kind of belly are you in. It's a bigger question, what's in your belly? Right? So go to verse 3. For you have cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows, thy waves passed over me. He's talking to God. God, you did this. I mean, I'm buried in hell. Then I said, I'm cast out of your sight. I feel it. I'm cast out of your sight. That's where you have to be careful, because we feel we're cast out of his sight, but actually he is there watching. He is present. Even if I make my bed in hell, you are there. Your right hand leads me, Psalm 139. That's where we shut down. I'm cast out of your sight. I'm done. I'm out of here. But he didn't say that. He said, I will look again toward your holy temple. How can you be in a fish and say, I will look toward your holy temple? The word toward is like directional, isn't it? How do you have direction in the belly of a fish? Which way is Jerusalem? You know, is it behind me? Is it in front of me? Is it to the right or the left? Under me or above? Where is Jerusalem? But I think it has a deeper meaning than geography. It has a meaning of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the covenant. The meaning of promises. The meaning of the faithfulness of God. The meaning of the nature and the character of God. I will look to you, God. I will look to your temple. Verse 5. The waters compass me, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. That's a grace prayer. That's the Spirit of God in him. You have not marked iniquities. You have brought up my life from corruption. You know my wickedness, but you love me. You are for me. You are loving me. You are putting strength in me. You are helping me. You are restoring me. You are speaking to me. Verse, O Lord, you have brought, O Lord, my God. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. That sounds like Psalm 77. Yes. Verse 10. I remembered the Lord. It's like that word, book of Deuteronomy is the word, the book on remember. Remember, the remember. Do you know one of the great books of love in the Bible is the book of Deuteronomy? Loving God, loving the stranger, loving the Egyptian when you came out of Egypt, loving those people in a foreign country. Love. God is love. Isn't it beautiful? Verse 7. My soul fainted. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto you, into your holy temple. They that observe lying vanities, here's a memory verse, verse 8. They that observe lying vanities. The word vanity is sometimes used for an idol, an empty lie, a stone, a tree trunk, a vanity, an empty, foolish lie, that this stone will protect me, that this talisman around my neck will give me a good basketball game. These are lying vanities, and there are plenty of them in life. They that observe them forsake their own mercy. They forsake mercy. They forsake God. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. The deliverance was there in the fish. His heart is enlarged by promises. Let's make this short. Finish this, because I think we said what we wanted to say. You have to observe, we'll put here, vertical relationship with God. Observe his love, his character. Be strong in love. Be strong in grace. Be strong in the bigness of God. Don't allow your life to be cramped by life, but have God in your life, filling you with the Spirit, revealing his love to us by his people, by his Spirit, by his word. And then our hearts will be enlarged to include even you, you could say. My circle was like this, but there was somebody on the outside of the circle, maybe it's a poem, but I drew a circle that took him in. I drew a circle that took him in. This heart that includes the guilty, the lost, the hurting, the foolish, the guy that's in the fish. And God is saying, my love is for you. I restore you. I care for you. Really? Look at the last verse, 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish. And that was it. My life changed. First it changed in me. Then it changed the fish thing. I was out. I got out by being big inside, big in my heart. That's how I got out of the fish. I included God in my life. I put God in. God was in my heart. And I've started to talk about him and relate to him and include him and believe his mercy and his grace and truth that set me free. And I was free when I was in the fish. And then God set me free out of the fish. And I was on the beach. I didn't even have to swim. Wasn't that the way it went? He landed out on the beach. So I want you to take it to heart this morning and think about it. Don't be cramped by others that hurt you. Don't be cramped by the loss of money or your health, the health that happens. Don't be cramped by relationships that go bad. Don't be cramped in life. We are. I'm not saying we aren't, but we can be and we are. But in it, have something in your belly that helps you be restored and relate to God, and we will become like God. A good illustration is that cross. We caught him. We caught Jesus. We hate Jesus. We caught him. We nail him. He is nailed. He is caught. He is straightened. He's cramped. our hatred is poured out on him. Surely he will hate us. Surely he will curse the Father. Surely we've got him now. But his heart was too enlarged, wasn't it? It included the world. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I know who you are. You are God. Nobody can cramp God. God is too great and too big. God is too awesome. And I know that my body will not be in corruption, but you will raise it. And that's it. Seated at the right hand of God, our Savior. How are you going to finish your life? What is your life going to look like at the end? Are you cramped by what has happened? Maybe. Or can we be enlarged so much that we'll finish our course with joy? God will say, "Oh, Daniel, you are greatly beloved. Fear not. I will strengthen you. I will speak to you, and you'll have strength from me." Okay. Amen. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we wouldn't even be able to say these things except they are written. And your love for us is obvious. Lord, restore us. Get us out of the fish if you can. Put us up on the beach. But if not, your mercies are enough. Our hearts are enlarged, and maybe we need it so that we can be strengthened in the most important things in life. Teach us how to live this life, God, in Jesus' name. And then anyone listening, we want to give you an invitation as somebody not fully committed, not having made a decision. You just generally are a believer, but we want to provoke you to make a big decision and say to Christ, "I believe in you. I believe in you." Please do that today. In your heart, say, "I believe in you, Jesus." And walk with him by faith. Amen.